reading is from John 3, 1 to 21. Now, there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. This man came to Jesus by night and said to him, "Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher come from God, for no one can do these signs that you do unless God is with him." Jesus answered him, "Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." Nicodemus said to him, "How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born?" Jesus answered, "Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Do not marvel that I say to you, you must be born again. The wind blows where it wishes, and you hear its sound, but you do not know where it comes from or where it goes. So it was with everyone who is born of the Spirit." Nicodemus said to him, "How can these things be?" Jesus answered him, "Are you the teacher of Israel, and yet you cannot understand these things? Truly, truly, I say to you, we speak of what we know and bear witness to what we have seen, but you do not receive our testimony. If I have told you earthly things and you do not believe, how can you believe if I tell you heavenly things? No one has ascended into heaven except he who has descended from heaven, the Son of Man. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him may have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. Whoever believes in him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only Son of God. And this is the judgment. The light has come into the world, and people love the darkness rather than the light because their works were evil. For everyone who does wicked things hates the light and does not come to the light, lest his words should be exposed. But whoever does what is true comes to the light, so that it may be clearly seen that his works have been carried out in God."
Well, as I said earlier, it's a joy to be with you. I love this church and pray for you regularly. So it's wonderful to be with you this morning. I know we said it's cold. There might be some things that I will skip out today to go quickly. So bear with me. But what we're doing now is the most important thing that we can do. Actually, looking at God's word is the most important news that any of us can hear. Whether we've been a Christian for years and we need to hear these things again, or whether we're hearing these things for the first time. So let me pray for our time together, and then we'll look at this wonderful passage. Heavenly Father, thank you for this time together. Thank you for your word. Lord, would you speak through me now? Would you use my weak words, and would you use them through the Holy Spirit to change our hearts? Would you help us to see the Lord Jesus more clearly? In Jesus' name. Amen. Well, you're not one of those born-again Christians, are you? Oh, they're just one of those born-again Christians. I wonder if you've ever heard that phrase. I wonder if you've ever had the awkwardness of someone turning to you and saying, "Oh, you're not one of those born-again Christians, are you?" The awkward thing is that quite often the answer is yes if you are a Christian, which makes the conversation quite awkward. But the perception of born-again Christians is not good. Chances are, if someone calls you a born-again Christian or describes you in that way, I'm going to be honest, they probably think you're a little bit weird. They probably think you're quite intense. They probably think you're quite overwhelming. They probably think that you follow a weird book and you're probably someone to kind of stay away from. But the reality is that if anybody is a Christian, they have been born again. And it's one of the most important things that can happen to any person. Now, it is a weird saying, though. We can appreciate that. It is a weird saying. But it's one we're going to learn more about today. So, if you're not a Christian this morning, I want to say to you that this weird phrase, born again, actually is the most important thing that you can understand in your life at this moment. The most important thing. It's the most important news you'll ever hear. And if you're a Christian already, well, actually, a lot of the things that we're going to look at today are going to be very, very familiar to you. But how we start is how we continue. And it's absolutely key that we keep coming back to this. So we're in John 3. And in our series so far, the author of this book, John, has been trying to excite us about Jesus. He's kind of called us to come and see and to behold Jesus' glory. And the passage that we're in this morning begins with a man who comes to Jesus. He comes to behold him in some way. But he doesn't get the response that he was expecting. Nicodemus, who we're introduced at the start of this passage, is a Pharisee. Now, a Pharisee essentially means that he was a religious ruler of the day. So he would have known his Bible really, really well. He would have known, actually, probably the Old Testament, maybe even front to back. He would have been one of those people that everyone in society would have looked up to. And he was very well aware of all the chatter about this man, Jesus. He must have heard about him, and he goes to see him. Now, it's interesting, if you look down, you see verse 2, he came to Jesus at night. Now, maybe this suggests that he didn't want anyone to see him. Maybe he's trying to do this in secret. We don't quite know. It's not made explicitly clear in the text, but it is mentioned. But the key thing that Nicodemus has done, rather than just him coming at night, is he's clearly cottoned on to a simple fact, a simple but profound fact, and that is that Jesus is special. We read this in verse 2. He says, "Rabbi," which means teacher, "we know that you are a teacher who has come from God, for no one could perform the signs you are doing if God were not with him." You imagine, this man Jesus has come, he's basically a carpenter from Nazareth, and suddenly all this amazing things are happening. Suddenly he's turning water into wine, there are people being healed. You imagine if it happened today, it would be on Twitter, it'd be on Instagram, it would be on the Mail, the Sun, the Star, don't read any of them, but it would be in all of the newspapers. And Nicodemus has read the signs. He's correctly seen that Jesus is no ordinary man. But Jesus' response, it kind of flips everything on its head. I wonder if you've ever asked somebody a question or you've made a comment and it seems like they completely ignore you. It kind of seems like Jesus does it here, doesn't he? He doesn't really seem to respond to Nicodemus' observation. He kind of seems to change the subject in a way. He tells Nicodemus, verse 3, "Very truly I tell you, no one can see the kingdom of God unless they are born again." Take a moment, everyone in the room, particularly kids, think about what is your earliest memory. What is your earliest memory? Does anyone want to be brave? Can anyone remember their earliest memory at all? Okay, fair enough. Interesting. How old were you?
Two.
So that's quite early, isn't it? Was there another hand up? Did someone? What was your earliest memory? Okay. Wow. Two or three. So we have memories, don't we? But as much as we have early memories, there's one thing I'm sure that none of us in this room remember, and that is being born. Now, I'm going to be honest, I don't think we'd want to remember being born if we had the choice. Won't go into that, but one thing is that we don't remember being born. And childbirth is a miracle, isn't it? It's one of life's miracles. I've actually been doing some reading about it recently, and I've been struck by this reality of just how exceptional it is when a baby is born. It is a literal miracle. If you think about all the things that could go wrong in childbirth, it is a miracle that any baby is born. Even today, with all the science that we have, it's still so complex, childbirth. I can't even believe that back in the day, years and years ago, without science and without the medical interventions we have, that babies were born so often. And as much as childbirth is beautiful, it also is pretty brutal. Now, I've not seen a baby be born in the flesh. Mothers in the room, from what I understand, I applaud you. And I'm sure there are many men in the room with sore hands from being squeezed so hard as that happened. You might even have the memory now, or maybe the imprint still. I mean, I'll be honest, men, it's the least you can do, because it's not like you put in much effort anyway into the process. But one thing's for sure, we are born once. Kids, I'm sure as much as your mum loves you, she wouldn't want to give birth to you again if she didn't have to. Especially looking at how big some of you have got, which always scares me. But it just doesn't happen, does it? Nobody is physically born again. So Nicodemus is naturally confused at what Jesus says. We see that in verse 4. How can someone be born when they are old? Nicodemus asked. Surely they cannot enter a second time into their mother's womb to be born. And he's right. We can't be born again, physically speaking. But Jesus is speaking spiritually here. He's speaking about when a Christian turns to God, and what happens when they turn to God is they are born again. They have a new life. They turn from their old way of living. They die almost to that way of living. And they begin a new life in Jesus. And what happens there is they receive the Holy Spirit. That is what Jesus speaks about when he says that you need to be born of the Spirit in verse 5. And he also says that you need to be born of water if you're a Christian. Now that might seem very confusing to us. But basically what he's saying is he's speaking about baptism. Now baptism is when somebody becomes a Christian, the Bible commands Christians to be baptized. Now being baptized does not make you a Christian. There's nothing special in the water, but it is a symbol. And what it symbolizes is as somebody is taken and they are lowered into the water, what is happening is it's symbolizing that they are dying to their sin. And as they are brought out of the water, it is symbolizing that they are coming into new life. They are being born again. So that's what baptism is. It's a symbol of dying to sin and being born again to live with Jesus. That's what Jesus is speaking about here. To be born again, you are to have the Holy Spirit come into you, which happens when you become a Christian, and you are baptized. Being born again isn't something that we can actually witness, like you'd be able to go down to Epsom Hospital today, and I'm sure you'd be able to see some physical births of children. But when somebody becomes a Christian, we don't see necessarily a physical change. They don't suddenly turn blue or get a halo around their head. Actually, it's something that happens inside. And that is what Jesus goes on to speak about. In verse 8, he says, the wind blows wherever it pleases. Where does the wind come from? Kids, can you tell me where the wind comes from? We don't know. The wind just comes about. We see the effects of it. We don't see where the wind comes from, but we see what it does. And that's very like somebody becoming a Christian. The Holy Spirit comes into their life. We don't see that happening, but we will see a change in the person. If you know somebody that's become a Christian, you might not be able to pinpoint exactly what has changed, but you know that something has changed in their life. You know that there's something different about them. Maybe that's why you're here this morning. Maybe that's why you're watching on YouTube, because you've seen the change in somebody's life. You've seen that they have been born again and that there's been a change. Because when you're born again, your whole world changes. Now, these things are wonderful truths. They're very simple, but they're also very profound. And Nicodemus still doesn't fully understand them. We look at verse 9 and he says, how can this be? Well, Jesus explains a little more about how someone is born again. Now, the reason in verse 13 that Jesus gives that he can explain all this is because he's come from heaven. The whole point of everything that is being said in John is this, that Jesus isn't just a simple man. He is the Son of God. And because he's come down from heaven, he has authority to speak about these things. And he points Nicodemus back earlier into a passage in the Bible to explain a little bit more about what he means. Now, when I was younger, don't know if any of you have had this, kids, I went to a reptile house. And at one point they brought out different things, I think different lizards, different things, and then they brought out the main event. Now, this main event was a boa constrictor. This boa constrictor was like that wide, and I can't even show you how long it was. And what they did is they got all of us to lie along the floor. And they had the boa, and if you're squeamish, I'm sorry, if you don't like snakes. But the boa constrictor kind of crawled along us. And I remember it crawling along my belly. One of my earliest memories. I remember feeling the kind of, the warmth of it and all the scales. It felt really, really strange. But I remember I was never really that scared of snakes. I remember a couple of years ago, I was in Vietnam, actually, and we went to a snake restaurant. And I got to hold some snakes. And we actually got to eat snakes. Sorry if you're squeamish again, but we had snake spring rolls, we had snake soup, we had snake noodles. I even had a snake's heart. Now, I'm not that scared of snakes. A big boa constrictor going across my belly doesn't scare me that much. But there are some snakes that can be deadly. There are snakes, particularly think about Australia, where they can kill. There are snakes that are poisonous. And we see poisonous snakes in one passage in the Old Testament. It's in the book of Numbers. And in Numbers 21, the Israelites are traveling through the desert and they've settled and loads of poisonous snakes enter the camp. These snakes start biting people and these people start dying. So the people call out to God. They say, God, save us from these snakes. And God says this, Numbers 21, verse 8, you don't need to turn to there, but I'll read it. Make a snake and put it on a pole. Anyone who's bitten can look at it and live. So Moses made a bronze snake and put it on a pole. Then when anyone was bitten by the snake and looked at the bronze snake, they lived. The people lived because they looked. They lived because they looked. What was required from the Israelites there? Did they have to live a good life? Or did they have to sacrifice something? Or did they have to do anything special at all? No. All they were required to do was to look. Just look and believe. Believe that what God says is that if they looked, they would be saved. All they had to do was look and trust the promise that God had given. For someone to be born again as a Christian, for them to receive eternal life, which we're going to look at in a sec, this is what they are to do. Jesus speaks about this in our passage today. He says in verse 14, just as Moses lifted up the snake in the wilderness, so the Son of Man must be lifted up, that everyone who believes may have eternal life in him. See, what Jesus is doing here is he's setting up the fact that he's going to die. When he says the Son of Man is lifted up, he's speaking of himself. He's speaking of himself as the bronze snake was lifted on the pole, so Jesus was lifted up onto the cross. He was lifted up like the snake, but he was infinitely better than the snake. The snake was pointing towards him even all those years ago. Because actually, if people looked at the bronze snake, they would be saved from a snake bite. But for us today, if we look to Jesus, we are saved from eternal damnation. We're saved from hell. We are given eternal life. Charles Spurgeon became a Christian when he heard the call to look. There was a day that Spurgeon, who was a preacher from many years ago, and he was going to church. I think it was a winter's day from remembering the story. I think it was snowing. Probably wasn't even as cold as this, to be honest. But as he got to the church, for some reason, the preacher couldn't make it. What a disaster. The preacher couldn't make it. And one brave man got up to preach. I wonder if I hadn't turned up this morning, who that brave man would have been, who would have just turned up and just preached out of nowhere. You can imagine what that sermon was like, though. Clearly, that person wasn't prepared. I think they kind of fumbled through a first point and then maybe came up with a second, which is perfectly natural. And then they kind of, I'd imagine, almost had a brain fade. Weren't quite sure what to say. And all they kept saying was, look. 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 Seems awkward, doesn't it? Imagine I could keep going on for minutes just saying look to you. And I'm sure at first it would have seemed awkward, then maybe even absurd to Spurgeon. But as he heard those words, look, 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 he was brought to the realization of what he needed to do. He needed to look at the Lord Jesus. He needed to look at him because that is the only way that he could be saved. Like the Israelites looked to the bronze snake in the desert and were saved. That is what he had to do in his life. And he gave his life to Christ. Will you look and believe? It's wonderfully simple becoming a Christian. Look. You don't need to live a perfect life. You don't need to do anything special. You don't need to get yourself ready. All you need to do is look and believe in Jesus. That is what it means to be born again. And what follows is a summary of what Jesus has really said already, and probably the most famous verse in the Bible. John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life." That is why Jesus came, to give eternal life. He didn't come to condemn the world. That word condemn basically means to judge. And each of us in this room will have things that we regret, won't we? Things in this room that no other person knows about because we are scared that if they knew, they would reject us. I think that's what we all fear, isn't it? Being exposed, to be judged for who we really are. Even if you're married or you're in a relationship, I'm sure there'll be things that you have not told your partner or your spouse because you're scared if they know, they would see the true you. Kids, I'm sure there are things that sometimes you might think that you would never want to tell your parents because it would expose the things that go on in your life because you might feel shame. Our culture at the moment is all about shame and condemning. They find tweets from people 15 years ago and they immediately condemn that person for what they said. We're very quick to judge, but Jesus didn't come to condemn us. He didn't come to point out our flaws and our sin and make us feel bad and say, "Oh, look, you're terrible. Look at all your problems." Instead, and I want you to really listen to this, Jesus knows every single minute detail about us. From every single thing that you've ever done, to every single thing that you ever thought about doing, to every single thing that you've ever thought. Do you often think if people knew the real you, they'd run away? That they'd be repulsed by you? I feel that. If you knew the real me, there is no way that you would even come to this church service, let alone listen to anything that I have to say. If you knew the sin in my heart. But you know what Jesus does? We think that if people knew the real us, that they would move away from us. But Jesus runs towards us. He comes to save us. And you know what he does? Is because the sin that we've done deserves punishment, he actually takes that condemnation. He takes it upon himself. He takes our sin, our regret, our secret sins that nobody knows about, the evil thoughts that we have, he takes the punishment of that when he goes to the cross. And if you look to him and you believe, you'll be saved. Verse 18 says, "Whoever believes in him is not condemned." But it also does say, "Whoever does not believe in him stands condemned already, because they have not believed in the name of God's one and true Son." There are two ways that you can respond to the message this morning. There are those, as I said in the kids' talk earlier, who will love darkness. Verse 19 says this, "This is the verdict. Light has come into the world. Jesus has come into the world. But people love darkness instead of light because their deeds were evil." There are those who do not turn to Jesus, and that is very simply because they love their sin. We see that in the world today, don't we? We see that people love to do things that the Bible says is wrong. Maybe you've even seen that in your life. The times that you will do things in the dark when no one will see. Why do we so often do things in the dark that we're ashamed of? It's because we don't want anybody to see. Why do so often the things that go in our head we don't tell anybody about? It's because we realise they are wrong. We want to keep them in the dark, where no one can know. People who reject God, they hate the light. They hate what the Bible says because the Bible illuminates sin. The Bible very clearly says that there are things in this life that are wrong. And people hate that. What's the one thing that you can't do in society today? is tell anybody that they are wrong. The light can feel like we're put on a stage, naked and powerless and exposed. Because God's word exposes us for what we are. And that's our biggest fear. Why do people have so many filters? Why do we on social media feel like we need to kind of show some kind of version of our life that's perfect? It's because we don't want to be exposed. We hate that people might know the real us. But there are those who came into the light. We find Nicodemus' response to what Jesus says later in John's Gospel. You eventually get to it in your series. John 7:50 reads, Nicodemus, who was one of their own number. We go even further, and John 21:39 says that after Jesus has died, Nicodemus, who was the man who had earlier visited Jesus at night, brings a mixture of myrrh and alloys. He basically takes Jesus' body and he wraps it. When everybody else had fled because they were ashamed or scared of what might happen after Jesus died, here we find Nicodemus. The man who first came to Jesus in the dark has now come to the light. This man's been transformed. He's been born again. He's looked and he's believed. And he received a hope of eternal life. The wonder of Jesus is he knows all our deeds already. They're illuminated in his light, but he still offers us forgiveness. To be a Christian is to admit that God knows all your deeds, but to trust in God to forgive you. That life, that light is life. That light is hope and warmth. It's hope to lift us out of the pit. It's a light in the dark tunnel when you can't see your hand in front of your face. To trust that God can give you eternal life and forgive your sins. We'll finish with this. If you're a Christian already, then I hope that this should lead you to rejoicing. I've not said anything new this morning that you probably don't know already. But these are things that we'll never get past. But if you're not a Christian, I want to speak very specifically to you. If you're watching this or even if you're in the building, I have the privilege, I guess, of not knowing exactly who's a Christian in this room and who isn't. But I want to speak specifically to you and say, if you haven't turned to Jesus, then now is the time to turn to him. Haven't we seen recently in our world that none of us are guaranteed the next few seconds, minutes, hours, days, months, years of our life? A very simple thing like someone coughing or getting close to somebody can suddenly give us something in our body that takes away our life. A single disease or a single event can take away our life just like that. Well, where do you stand with God? Are you looking to Jesus and trusting in him? Or are you still living in the dark? Well, I want to ask you, will you come into the light? Will you be born again even this morning by looking at Jesus and believing him? If you want to, why not pray along with me in a second as we pray? This morning, you can turn to Jesus. You don't have to be perfect. You don't have to bring yourself all cleaned up. You just have to come as yourself. And if you're already a Christian, as I pray those words that you might have prayed already in your life, rejoice in what Jesus once did in your life. And thank him that he saved you. Thank him that for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him might receive eternal life. Look. Look. Look to Jesus. Why not come into the light today and be born again? Let's pray. If there's anyone in the room now who is not a Christian and wants to become a Christian this morning, then you can pray these words along with me. Heavenly Father, I know that I have sinned and rejected you. I know that the only way for me to be saved is to trust in Jesus. I might not fully feel like I understand everything about you. There may be things that are still confusing to me, but I want to trust you. I want to give my life to you this morning, to have you as my Lord and Saviour, to come out of the darkness and to have eternal life. Amen. Lord, for those of us who are Christians, help us to remember those times in our life for each of us that we came to you. Thank you that you loved us so much that you sent your Son. Help us to look to you. Help us to remember that you give us eternal life. In Jesus' name, amen. We're going to sing...